This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هذه ليلة الجمعة ليلة عظيمة مباركة يسن فيها الأكثار من الصلاة على سيدي ومولاي رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه من كل عمل صالح. This night of Jumu'ah, it's a blessed night. There's a lot of barakah in this night. The sunnah is to increase the salah upon the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and all good deeds. يروي الإمام البيهقي في الدلائل والإمام ابن إسحاق في سيرته بسند حسن بشواهده عن عروة بن الزبير أنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now yesterday I talked about the issue of that, yesterday's hadith and today, so I'm not going to repeat this again, but that there is a lot of debate on its authenticity, and I usually don't narrate a hadith that have any debate on their authenticity, but when I feel that the theme is it's helpful for the theme, and I feel comfortable with the argument of why that their authenticity is reasonable, I go ahead, and this is an example, even though there may be many scholars who disagree, but that's there are scholars who don't or agree with it, and I take their opinion, especially if I think it's reasonable. And the reason that this hadith has some issues of authenticity is because there's a man from that is not named, who is from Ahl al-Madinah, between one of the imams and Urwa ibn al-Zubayr. So, حدثني رجل من أهل المدينة وثقة من أهل المدينة. And scholars have different ways of looking at that phrase and whether they think something can be authentic with it or not. It's something that is open for debate. Anyways, that's just a quick reminder. So, and the theme is about Hajj. And we're gonna maybe get through 8 or 9 ahadith. That's pretty much it. And I want to narrate a hadith that I didn't narrate the two years before, because I wanted to kind of give you a little bit of a different perspective. And the perspective I want to offer this year is that looking at Hajj from the lens of prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam ajma'in, as Hajj is something that is not specific just to Ummat Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. It's something that all of those prophets have been a part of. And this hadith is very clear with that. And what he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, قَالَ مَا مِن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ إِلَّا مَا كَانَ مِنْ أَمْرِ هُودٍ وَصَالِحٍ. He said, and there is no prophet except they have performed Hajj to this house, except what happened with the issue of Hud and Salih. قَالَ وَلَقَدْ حَجَّهُ نُوحٌ. And Nuh alayhi salam performed Hajj. And the majority of opinions of scholars is that the qabr of Nuh is in Mecca. The majority opinion, the vast majority of scholars believe that the grave of Nuh alayhi salam is in Mecca, because he had done his Hajj and then he passed away afterwards. قَالَ فَلَمَّا أَصَابَ الْأَرْضَ فلما أصاب البيت ما أصاب الأرض من الغرق. When the house, meaning the البيت العتيق, was affected by what the earth was affected with the water and the طوفان. قال وكان ربوة حمراء. In the house, the البيت العتيق, meaning the Kaaba before this, was on a higher. It was not at the same level of earth. It was on a higher little hill, and it was a hill that was colorful. Meaning there was a lot of green there. There was different things. So it was not what we see it to be today, where it's actually lower than everything else, and it's just rock and sand. So this hadith is kind of pointing out that bait looked different. So what happened was that Nuh alayhi salam performed Hajj, and then the flood that occurred affected this part of the world as well. And the bait was, the Kaaba was affected by what affected the earth of the water. So it used to, and before that it was on a higher hill, and it was something much more colorful, and that wasn't the case. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ هُودًا فَتَشَاغَلَ بِأَمْرِ قَوْمِهِ فَلَمْ يَحُجَّهُ حَتَّى مَاتْ وَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ صَالِحًا فَتَشَاغَلَ بِأَمْرِ قَوْمِهِ فَلَمْ يَحُجَّهُ حَتَّى مَاتَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent both Hud and Salih, but they got busy with the problems of Ad and Thamud, and they died before they were able to perform Hajj. This is the hadith. قال فَلَمَّا بَوَّأَ اللَّهُ لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ حَجَّهُ مَا بَقِيَ مِن نَبِيٍ بَعْدَهُ إِلَّا حَجَّهُ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out to Ibrahim where the house was once, because it was after the flood, it was no longer apparent. And Ibrahim performed his Hajj, and then every prophet after Ibrahim performed his Hajj. And all these things that I'm telling you in this hadith, even if the hadith itself has some degree of question of its authenticity, the actual information doesn't. Meaning there are authentic evidence for each of these phrases, but I don't have a hadith that puts them all together except this one, so I can narrate it to you, but the actual information is there. And he said, وَصَرَّحَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَىٰ وَسَلَىٰ, that after Ibrahim, every prophet would perform Hajj. And I'm going to narrate for you a few authentic ahadith over the next week that where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam points that out specifically, and he points out, he calls the prophets out, like Yunus and like Musa alayhi salam. So the concept of and this is why I think it's a beautiful thing. So yesterday I told you that Hajj has three levels, there are three methods or Three roads or routes you can take when you're thinking about Hajj. You can think about Hajj from the perspective of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wasallam, and then walk in his footsteps alayhi salatu wasalam, and remember his Hajj. Or you can walk Hajj in the footsteps of Ibrahim al-Khalil and his family, Hajar and Ismail. Or you can walk Hajj in the footsteps of Adam alayhi salam and Hawa. And all three are routes that you will learn a lot from if you perform Hajj. But also remember that all the prophets in between performed this. All the prophets in between knew the importance of Hajj. And if they couldn't make it to perform Hajj, then they knew at least where the Bayt al-Atiq was, where the old, where the original, where the authentic house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. And they wished they could, even if they didn't in their lives, for whatever reason, which is why he points out Hud and Salih alayhi salatu wasalam. And there are prophets that were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all across the world in different parts. They all knew about the Kaaba. And whether they were able to perform Hajj or not is something that comes back to their ability to actually do it. But all the prophets within the area of the Middle East, they all performed Hajj. And I think it's something that's worth thinking about. Because when you go and do this pilgrimage, whether you do Umrah or you do Hajj, you're given the opportunity to understand that you are now on the earth where most of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prophets, if not all of them, once walked. They walked here at some point in their lives. They came and performed this Hajj. Whether the house was the way it is right now, or whether it was different or something similar to something that Rabwatan Hamra, or whether it was not something even apparent, so they just knew that the house is here, so they went and they performed Tawaf to the best of their ability, but they knew that this is the spot that it all started from. This is where Adam, this is the first house that Adam and the Malaika and Hawa put there, and they understood the significance of that. And I think it's something that we miss a lot when we talk about Hajj. We miss this, Hajj is a symbolic journey. If you make it mechanical, it dies off. Like it doesn't have much meaning to it. But if you understand the symbolism behind it, if you understand the significance of where you are, who walked here once, why this house is here specifically, who started all of this and who continued this legacy, it becomes very meaningful. It's actually hard to ever want to leave. Like you'll be glued to it because there's so much there for you. Like there's so much history, and there's so much originality and authenticity, there's so much meaning and profoundness there that it's just hard to walk away from it. And that's the beauty of always going back. You always go back for a visit and you perform another Umrah, and it's just like you did the first time around, if you have the understanding of what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam explained about this place and about the pilgrimage itself. And I hope that was a benefit to you. يروي الإمام البيهقي في دلائله والإمام ابن إسحاق في سيرته بسند حسن بشواهده عن عروة بن الزبير أنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما من نبي إلا وقد حج هذا البيت إلا ما كان من أمر هود وصالح ولقد حجه نوح فلما أصاب الأرض الغرق أصاب البيت ما أصاب الأرض وقد كان ربوة حمراء وبعث الله هودا فتشاغل بأمر قومه فلم يحجه حتى مات وبعث الله صالحا فتشاغل بأمر قومه فلم يحجه حتى مات ثم بوأ الله لإبراهيم حجه فلم يبق من نبي بعده إلا وحج البيت صدق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سبحانه وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفر وتوب إليك وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين جزاكم الله خير بارك الله فيكم